in the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the studio is Steve Kalaszewski, and he'll be with us in a few minutes. But I want to encourage you today. I mean, you may be looking at all the events that are happening in the world and getting all these news feeds on your Facebook and on all your social media, and you may be saying, what difference can I make? There's 7 billion people on the face of the world, and I'm such a small part. I want to encourage you today that you are a big part, that no matter what your background is, what you're doing education-wise or what you do for an occupation, listen, you can make a difference right there in your community. And we're going to be talking today about a man who thought he had really nothing to offer, but because he had love for God and love for other people, God did something amazing in his life. You know, so many times people try to make life really so complicated. They even try making following God complicated. But really, it's quite simple. Jesus told us that the greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Love God and love others. Listen, if we maintain that as the main thing, if you will, if we just say, I just want to love God, and I want him to grace me and to help me to love other people, you'll be amazed at what God can do in your life. Because one thing I've realized is that the more we focus on God and the more we focus on the Lord, and we press in to become his friend, you know, oftentimes people are looking for a title, and I'm saying, listen, the greatest place that you can be, you can't be any closer than where you are right now if you're a believer, you're a son and a daughter. And just be content with being his friend. Because I tell you what, when you become his friend, he begins to tell you his secrets. And he begins to tell you some of the things that are deep on his heart. I want you to watch this trailer for a new movie called The Dropbox. And this is about a South Korean pastor who God changed his life and burdened him because of a son that was born with physical limitations to have compassion for the unwanted and the hurting. His story is so inspiring. It's being released even now on theaters, selected theaters. But when you watch this trailer, I want you to be encouraged that you too can make a difference. Watch this.
And then I was weeping. I always cry when I'm angry. And she said, why are you crying? It's only orphan.
The baby box is South Korea's first and only box to collect abandoned infants.
Hundreds of unwanted babies are abandoned on the streets of Seoul, South Korea every year.
Tragic loss of life moved the pastor said to set up a way for saving unwanted babies.
위험함 속에서 버려진 아이들이 있고 또 길거리에서 그래서 이제 베이비 박스라는 것을 만들게 됐고
그리고 정말 안 들을 줄 알았어요. 어떤 아이들은 목사님 이 아이하고 죽으려고 약 탔습니다. 약 타놨습니다. 네, 그러지 마라. 그러면 너도 오고 애기도 와라.
길이 엄마의 그림입니다. 제 아들을 부탁드립니다. 찾지 말아 주십시오. 죄송합니다. 정말로 죄송합니다.
이 길이.
이 길이.
이 길이.
이 길이. 영어 이름은?
네.
빅토리.
빅토리. 빅토리.
그래서 그 아이들이 이 세상에 필요 없는 존재들이 아니고 하나님이 쓰시고자 했다 이렇게 표현했었어요.
여기 이제 가정에 20명이라는 그 아이들이 좁은 공간에서 많이 살고 있으니까 그런 공동체가 다른 것은 아버지 어머니가 있기 때문이죠.
또 하지 않는 일, 그리고 버려질 수 있고 또는 나라에서 하지 않고 있는 이런 일들을 하시는.
Even if there's just one person that really cares about children, it makes such a difference.
You're just human being, just like anyone else. They have the right to live.
이제 이 문제가 한국만의 문제가 아니고 이제 아마 세계적으로 이 아이들이 이렇게 밖에 보내서 희생당한 아이들이 많으니까.
But these children, they're helpless, they're voiceless. Who's going to speak for them?
이 아이를 보내면서 다시 한번 내가 헌신을 했습니다. 하나님, 이 아이들을 위해서 내가 죽겠습니다. 믿음, 소망, 사랑 중에 세 가지. 그 중에 제일은 사랑이라고 했습니다.
와우. Did you hear what the pastor said? He said, God, I will die for these children. It just takes love, love for God and love for others. How inspiring. Every child, every person deserves to live. With 50 million plus abortions in our nation since 1963-67, I believe, with Roe versus Wade, how many children have passed away, have been killed, and are gone? Listen, we can do something lest we do nothing. And I love this pastor. He just obeyed God. He put a box there and he said, I didn't know if anyone was going to put a baby in there, but they did. And because he did, now children are alive. I want to encourage you today that God has maybe put a dream on your heart, maybe a desire, and you said, I don't know how. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the finances. I don't have maybe the connections. Listen, if you know God, you have all the connections that you need. I want to encourage you to draw close to him and allow him to move upon your heart with compassion and obey him in all that he tells you to do. Because the world is waiting for your arrival and for you to walk in your God purpose and destiny that he has for you. Join us when we get back for this break because we're going to talk more about the power of one.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
From time to time, you might feel like God is distant, hard to find. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Crystal Evans Hurst sharing how she reconnects with God.
There are times in life where you feel God's touch directly. There are other times when you feel God's touch through other people. And there are times when I couldn't feel God personally, but I could feel the hand of a friend or the hug of a mother figure in the church. And I think that's where connectivity, especially in the body of Christ, is so important. Because God shows up in lots of different ways. He shows up personally where, you know, you hear him. And there are other times when you know he's there because somebody hugs you real good and you know that God sent you that person on that day.
You'll learn more about deepening your relationship with God from Crystal Evans Hurst today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Steve Kolesheski. And wow, Steve.
That's encouraging.
How inspiring.
One man affecting so many lives. It's powerful.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, the big thing is like, okay, you know, here I am, mm-hmm. you know. So many people that I've had opportunity to speak with, they tell me that they feel like that, you know, there's so many things happening in the world today. We have all this media coming right at us, whether it's on our phones, our tablets, our television screens, 24-hour news cycle. And we're bombarded with all these events that are occurring. Mm-hmm. And we realize that the world is 7 billion people. Mm-hmm. But what difference can I make? You know, what can I do? And we fail to recognize that if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we have a prayer life, which means that we are communicating and talking with God, and we are actually hearing what he says, then God can literally burden us and give us a compassion to but the people that he wants us to have compassion for. I mean, mm-hmm. really, that's how true intercession really begins. Intercession is when God allows us to carry a burden, if you will, for a particular person or thing that's happening, and it becomes like our own. We're carrying it. We become yeah. burdened with it, and then we actually pray it right back to the Lord. So it's kind of this circle thing that's occurring, but it always starts in the heart of God. And I love this South Korean pastor. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure that he was busy. Like, oh, yes. First thing people tell you is, I'm busy. I can't do anything. You know, I got my own plans. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he had some things that he had to do. In fact, he had a child. I didn't know this, but in South Korea, to have a child, according to this documentary, that has any kind of deformities or something wrong with their body, that's a stigmatism. People don't want those children. They get rid of them. And so he actually had a child, I believe, with a growth on the side of his mouth, and he laid on his back. And he was, you know, tempted mm-hmm. to question God, and he said, you know, I'm just going to love this child. I'm just mm-hmm. going to take care of this child. And through that process, God really moved on his heart to say, hey, what about the other children?
Absolutely.
I love them too.
Yeah, when you think about the culture of Korea, or South Korea, actually, and it's just like, that is a extremely dense culture as far as the amount of population in comparison to America. Mm-hmm. So when you take in consideration this pastor, and you can imagine the overwhelming, like, he sees so much of a need, and a lot of times that overwhelming mindset says, I'm just one person, what can I do? And when you look at that documentary and you see those images of those children, and they're smiling and they're laughing, and it's just like, those would not have been able to be possible without him making that decisive statement and just saying, God, I will die for these children. And that's where you really see those transformation changes, when one person is just willing to die for the advancement of the kingdom,
yeah.
for the glory of God. And it reminds me of a story. It was just like a father and a son. They're walking down the beach, and there's starfish all over the shore. And as they're walking, periodically, the father will kneel down, pick up a starfish, and throw it in the water. And the son is just, he sees this, and there's just so many. And he asks him, what are you doing? He says, well, you know, these starfish, they need to survive in the water. And out here on the shore, they'll die. Mm. And if I don't do something for them, they'll die. And he says, well, there's just so many. And the father picks up one, and he looks at his son, and he says, well, for this one, it means the world. Mm. And he throws it back. And it's just like, you can see the overwhelming number and think that mindset and say, oh, I'm just one person. But imagine when you speak about the love of Christ, when you give an encouraging word, when you just give an encouraging gesture, when you're there, when you give your time, it matters to that person.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
It is powerful. You know, there was an orphanage, and you talked about being extremely dense. Special shout out to Amy Kim. We met Amy in Central Park. She's from South Korea. And we had an amazing dialogue with her as God had us just really meet mm-hmm. There at the Shake Shack in Manhattan. And we had this amazing encounter. She had just given her life to the Lord a few days ago. And my wife and I were standing right behind her. She was explaining to us about South Korea and some of the things that happened and are happening there. And one of the things she talked about, how space is so limited. Mm-hmm. I mean, very, very limited. And I could just hear so many Americans say, you know, well, I don't have the space, and we don't have the room. And it's like, he brought 20 children, 20 babies, needy babies in their home. There comes a point in our life where we say, it's not about me. Mm-hmm. And the sooner that we come to that realization that the world doesn't revolve around me, that it's not about my wishes, my wants, but really it's all about God. And you know, we should have no glory of our own. We should be like the moon. You know, the moon, the moonlight doesn't come from the moon. It comes from the sun. It's a reflection of the sun. And all the glory that should come to us, really shouldn't come to us, rather, should be reflected back to the Lord and say, God, this life is not about me, but it's about how I can give you glory, how you can be famous, how you mm-hmm. can be magnified in the earth. But the problem is that many people are not ready to die. They're living for too many things in this world. And I'll tell you what, that you really, no man really is fit to live. I believe it was Martin Luther King Jr. who said that, unless he has, he says, a man who does not have something for which to live, I'm sorry. A man who does not have something for which he's willing to die is not fit to live. And that's what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said. You have to have a greater reason for living than just video games, vacations, white picket fences. Because at the end of the day, we're going to leave this place called Earth. At the end of the day, we are going to spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And as for me, hell has nothing that I want. Okay, I'm zero. I want to be in heaven. I want to be with God. But when I get there, I don't want to be one that just escaped the flames of hell and says, "Phew, I'm glad I'm here." But I want to have something to offer the King. I want to have something to give him. I want my life as best as I can, whatever I can do, to say, "Jesus, it was for you. It was all about you." And you can avoid tomorrow's regrets today by saying, "You know what? I received that. It's not about me. I'm going to live for him." I mean, it was interesting that Jesus even told the disciples, "Unless you pick up your cross and deny yourself, you can have no part of me." I mean, he was very clear that following me means following me. You can't follow yourself. You can't call your own shots. But you're going to have to do surrender yourself. That's what it means when we make Jesus Lord and Savior. A lot of people are content to be saved from hell, be saved from fire and torment. But are we accepting Jesus as Lord? Lord means chief. It means boss. It means the shot caller, right? It means he calls the shots. And that's when we're really living an abundant life. That's when you're really living life to the fullest, when you recognize that at any moment you can die. And in fact, the Bible says that life is but a vapor. You're here today, Stephen, and you're gone tomorrow. And you know, there's two dates on a tombstone, the date you were born and the day that you die. What separates those two dates is a dash. The question is, none of us today know, where are we in that dash? We come across a lot of people who are terrified for some reason of dying, scared to die. And here recently in the kingdom of God and the body of Christ, we've lost some generals here on this earth, and they are receiving their reward in heaven. And I've heard believers actually say that, "Wow, you know, sad for them, it's sad for us, and sorry that they're gone." And it's like, don't be sorry for them. They're receiving their reward. They're with the King. And the question I have for you today is that if you're more comfortable in this life and you're avoiding the life to come, then what are you really living for? These are questions that help us to really think about and analyze, what are we doing? The book of Proverbs tells us that a wise man and a wise woman gives thought to their ways. And it would do us well to begin to think about our ways and to analyze, what am I living for? And what are the things that I'm investing my time for? You know, I believe it was Leonard Ravenhill who said, "Is what you're living for worth Christ dying for?" And for me, I want to aim all my efforts, my energies, all my finances and resources to the things that truly matter. And I was thinking this morning as I was, you know, abiding and just spending time with the Lord and just in prayer, I was thinking about the persecuted church. We talked about in a previous program about the atrocities that occurred in Poland and Auschwitz with annihilation and the murder of the Jews. And it started get me to thinking about what's happening today amongst Christians. What's happening today amongst with radical Islam, who is happily pulling out swords and cutting off the heads of Christians and anyone that doesn't agree with them. And I was burdened to pray for the persecuted church. I mean, today we have Pastor Saeed Abedini, an Iranian American, who is still in prison. I believe he was sentenced to 8 years. I believe that he's in prison now the third year in Iran, in Evin prison, one of the most notorious prisons in Iran, and it's taking a lot of diplomatic efforts. But just recently, even the president and Secretary of State John Kerry are getting involved in trying to see how they can bring awareness and get him out. But I think get him home, bring him back. But Pastor Saeed is just one. I think about the two Iranian young ladies that we've discussed previously on our program, who I believe on their backpacks took something like 30,000 Bibles secretly at night in Iran. See, that's being willing to die for something. That's called life on the edge. And I'll tell you, many people are playing it safe today. They're happy to be a part of a local church fellowship. They're happy going to the early service. That's fine. That's what you enjoy. No, I'm not saying anything about that. But I think you understand what I'm trying to get to, that we can't just put Jesus as a part of our life. We can't compartmentalize and say, we're just going to get him over with here real quick on Sunday so we can enjoy the rest of the day. You know, life is so busy. Yeah. But what about Jesus being the center of every day? That he is the most important thing we have going on. And if we're just too busy to spend time with him, if we're just too busy to pray, if we're just too busy to read our Bibles, then you know what? Maybe we're just too busy. Maybe it's better that we just cut some things out. Because I promise you this, the day that we all have to stand before him, I seriously doubt that we will say, you know, Jesus, I wish I would have worked longer. I wish I would have watched more movies. I wish I would have went to more Disney trips. I don't think we're going to say that. But I think what we will say is, gosh, I wish I would have spent more time with him. You know, Dr. Billy Graham, 95 years old, a general, a soldier for the Lord. When Greta Van Susteren interviewed him and asked him, what would you do differently? You know what Billy Graham said, Reverend Billy Graham? He said, I would have taken less speaking engagements. I would have spent more time in prayer and in study and telling God how much I love him. We have that for you. We'll make that available for you on the torch. But that's what Reverend Billy Graham said. I want to spend more time with Jesus. Listen, we have today. We may not have tomorrow. And so we want to encourage you, start making evaluation on your life. Start realizing, hey, what am I living for? Oftentimes I find that it takes a tragedy to happen. Maybe the death of a loved one. Maybe a diagnosis of a sickness, a terminal illness, that you know that your life may be ending. And then you determine, well, I better get busy. I better do something. Well, why wait to be terminally ill? Why wait for a tragedy? Allow yourself today to pause for that moment, to reflect upon your life, and to connect with God in ways that you've never had before. And to say, God, here I am. I surrender myself, my mind, my wishes, my desires, and I want to exchange my will, my plans, for your plans. I mean, think about it. You and I didn't choose to be here. Right? The Bible says that God knitted us in our mother's womb and knew us before the foundations of the world. If it was God's idea for us to be here, then maybe God has a plan for each of us to do. I want to encourage you, get busy. Spend time with God and find out what he has you to do. Maybe you'll have the next Dropbox. Maybe you'll be the next missionary. Maybe you'll just awaken to the realization that you and God are a majority at your workplace, and you can bring the kingdom of God right there where you work, and people can come to know him. They can have a relationship with him. You can pray for them, and you can encourage them. Listen, decide today that you're going to live every single moment for Jesus, and your life will be forever changed. More when you get right back from this break.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation. And I encourage you to get a device, a radio, or an i something, or and something and put it on your desk at work and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
We want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our viewers. That's on, don't forget, we're on the Gulf Coast every single day from Destin, the beautiful sandy beaches of Destin, Florida, all the way to the beautiful historical parts of Mississippi. And over 1.4 million footprint out. That's amazing. Just the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we want to be able to be there with you each day, bring in some light to this interesting times. And we're getting some great feedback from you, and we so love to hear from you. Remember our Facebook, and you can communicate to us. We'd love to receive messages from you and letters, actually positive messages.
Yes.
Anything negative, just send it to Pat. He's good. He can handle that kind of stuff.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back here from the break is Steve Kalaszewski. And we just finished talking about, listen, being ready just to live for Jesus and just stepping out and saying, you know what, I am going to surrender this life, and I'm just going to give it all to him. But because, listen, time is short, and I promise you, whatever you do for God today, you will not regret it for eternity. But we're going to be listening to and watching as Steve begins to share with us about what's happening with Christians, persecution, and what Franklin Graham has to say about that. Steve, talk to us.
Yeah, well, on CBN, they had an interview. It was Gordon Robertson. He had, was speaking with Franklin Graham. And it's so significant that while we're talking about in the previous program, we're talking about the persecution of Jews and the awareness of the fact that we're seeing that same mentality towards Christians. We're seeing the same mentality of coming against Christians, coming against their beliefs. And it's the same thing what you said before of JJ, whether it's Christians and the Jews. And it's significant in the fact of what they're saying matters. And there's this mentality of over there, it's happening over there. And I even remember there was a program, whether it was a series or whatnot, and it was about the war in Iraq, and it was called Over There. Because there's this if I'm saying the word right, the compartmentalize it, of saying, well, I don't have to worry about it. I can just separate myself from that reality because I'm not there. And if we're not paying attention, over there is going to become over here.
Mm.
And we've got to connect this. But pay attention when you hear the some of the things that Franklin Graham says what's happening over there. If we don't pay attention, it's going to happen here. I want you
I believe
to watch
he
it.
Says a storm is coming.
Exactly.
A storm is coming. A jihad storm is coming. So we better pay attention.
Oh, yes. Yes. Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is a very dangerous time to be a Christian. Torture, beheadings, destruction.
You're with the highest level of persecution of Christians.
A church congregation barricaded themselves in from hundreds of riot police.
They're enduring attacks for their faith like
along
never
with savage
before.
Kidnappings of Christian schoolgirls in Nigeria by Boko Haram and the burning of Christian
images
churches.
Of violence dominate headlines.
Christians are being warned they have a choice. Convert to Islam, pay a very steep price, or face death.
Chilling new video showing the beheading of 21 Egyptian Christians.
Beheadings of 21 Christians.
21 Christian men beheaded by Islamic State.
The title of the video is a message signed with blood to the nation of
we
the cross.
We have seen the sharpest jump in violent attacks against Christians. We need to make the persecuted church an issue of prayer.
To lift up the church around the world and particularly in the Middle East and pray for them. And now we've got Franklin Graham, and he's been an outspoken voice for the persecuted church around the world. Franklin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
After the beheading of those Christians in Egypt, you said, we better take this warning seriously as these acts of terror will only spread. The storm is coming. What storm do you see coming?
Yes. The storm of Islam. And what you're seeing, Gordon, is this isn't just radical Islam. This is Islam. And they've been persecuting Christians, minorities, for centuries. This isn't something that just started with ISIS. This is something that's been going on for, again, it goes all the way back to the time of Muhammad. When he began to turn his sword on Christians and Jews in Saudi Arabia. At that time, there were large Christian communities in Arabia. Now there's not one Jew, there's not one Christian left. It's against the law in Saudi Arabia to have a church. There's been fairly large communities of Christians in places like Iraq. But after 9/11, those communities now have dwindled down just to thousands, where they were millions. And this is happening in Syria. This is happening in Egypt. There's persecution of churches and Christians in Turkey. You see this in the Sudan. So, I mean, the list goes on to Indonesia, where Christians are persecuted. And there's not any place for these Christians to run anymore. Those that could escape to the West have come. And it's going to get worse, and we're going to see persecution, I believe, in this country because our president is very sympathetic to Islam. And the reason I say that, Gordon, is because his father was a Muslim, gave him a Muslim name, Barack Hussein Obama. His mother married another Muslim man. They moved to Indonesia. He went to Indonesian schools. So growing up, his frame of reference and his influences as a young man was Islam. It wasn't Christianity, Islam. And so there are Muslims that have access to him in the White House. Our foreign policy has a lot of influence now from Muslims. We see the Prime Minister of Israel being snubbed by the President and by the White House and by the Democrats, and it's because of the influence of Islam. They hate Israel and they hate Christians. And so the storm is coming, I believe, Gordon.
We've seen it not just in this administration, but we also saw in the Bush administration the line, if you will, that Islam is a religion of peace. You know, it seems obvious from the evidence that you just eloquently quoted that regardless of where it is and regardless of the group, there seems to be not peace. It seems to be a series of horrible persecutions and a war against unbelievers. Why is our government insisting that it's a religion of peace? And now we have this new phrase that they refuse to say Islamic terrorism for the 21 Christians who were killed in Egypt. They want to call them laborers. They don't want to call them Christians. Why is that?
It's because the White House has opened the doors. And again, you're correct when you said it started during the Bush administration. After 9/11, the Bush administration began to allow Muslims to come into various governmental agencies to advise us how to respond to Muslims and how to respond to Islam after 9/11. And what's happened is you now have radical Islamists that are advising various levels of government. And it's going to get worse. And nobody seems to be alarmed about it. Nobody is saying anything about this. And we as Christians are going to lose. Growing up, I was influenced by the Christian faith like you were. And I want to emulate the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died and shed his blood for me, for you, and for the Muslims and for all the people of the world. And I want to follow Christ, and I want my life to model his. And the followers of Islam, they want to emulate Muhammad. Muhammad was a warrior. Muhammad, he killed people. And he was a brutal person. And so what you're seeing with ISIS and other groups, they're just emulating Muhammad, the ones that they follow. So this is Islam. And we've got to wake up to the truth of Islam. And we talk about radical Islam. Radical Islam are people that go to the mosque. The millions of moderate Muslims out there, they don't go to the mosque. They don't want anything really to do with it. But they were born into Islam, and they can't get out of it because if you try to leave Islam, they're going to kill you. So they have to stay there, but they just don't participate. And they just sit on the sidelines, and they want to live their life and go on. But those are the moderates, but the ones that go to the mosque are the ones we have to be afraid of.
Well, what should the church's message be to Muslims today?
Well, first of all, I want the Muslims everywhere to know that God loves you. And you don't have to cut somebody's head off to please God. You don't have to die in some holy war to please God, to be accepted by God, for him to welcome you into heaven. You see, the God that we worship, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. He gave his life. He shed his blood for our sins. He died for us. We don't have to die for him. And I want the Muslims everywhere to know that they can repent of their sins and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. God will forgive their sins. He'll heal their hearts, and he'll welcome them into his presence in heaven. And I know that if they do this, they can be persecuted. They can be killed. So you can do it secretly in your heart. You don't have to tell anyone. Just say, God, I believe Jesus Christ is your son. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. I invite Jesus to come into my life. I want to trust him as my Savior. They can do that. And they'll have to be careful of how they live their life because they might be killed by their family and relatives. But they can have that assurance of their forgiveness of sins. They can have that assurance that they're going to be in heaven. And they don't have to be a martyr and die in some holy war. It's simply by faith, believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, what's your message to the church today? And how does this fit in the Bible? In Revelation, I read, those who are beheaded for the faith are under the throne of God, and they're crying out, how long? And his answer is chilling. Right. There's more that need to die. Where are we in biblical prophecy?
That's a good question. I believe we are in the midnight hour as far as God's time is concerned. And how long that midnight hour is, whether it's hundreds of years or a thousand years, I don't know. But I do believe, and wherever I travel, going around the world, there is a sense of urgency with believers, with the church. They believe that we are getting close. And so I think that's where we are, Gordon. We need to do all that we can as the church to try to reach out to a world that is lost, a world that has sinned against God. And we need to preach the gospel, because there's only one thing that is going to matter in life, and that's, what have we done with Jesus Christ? Have we told others? Have we communicated it clearly? Do men and women understand that they're sinners, that Christ died for our sins and he shed his blood on Calvary's cross for each and every one of us? He was buried for our sins, and that God raised him to life. Jesus Christ is alive. He's in heaven, and he's coming back, and I think soon.
I think so, too. But I agree with you. Now's the time to be preaching the good news, the gospel. And because now it's daytime, soon there's going to be a nighttime coming that I'm seeing where no one can work. And so we now need to work like never before. We need to bring in this harvest.
When you hear those words, that brings a very clear perspective about where we are, what's happening not only in the world, but also what is on the potential doorstep of America. Join us when we come back from this break.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
As we said, Al Gore just invented the internet, according to him. And this is before we had multiple internets, when George W. said we have internets, which is a minor. I mean, think about that. How many times have we, you just
thousands. Go like,
we make John clips, alone. We make humorous clips of these tournaments.
Tournaments. There you go.
Wrestling. Yes. And I've been trying to practice the other day.
Did you?
Wrestling. My chin's got to go out to say it right. And so,
it's called enunciation. Oh, that wasn't funny.
That's a lot. Tournament about this. You know, tournaments who can spell that. The this is like the telephone. Hey, I'm going to talk to you. Can you move the phone somewhere around the vicinity of your mouth?
Your mouth.
Hey, I want to talk to you,
Chomp. Hey, can't leave alone. Right. All right, let me adjust it now. Wrestling. What else do you want to talk about? Statistic, likely. Let me get the mic ready here. What do you want to talk about?
You're tearing up the set, bro. Okay. Hold on. Chill out.
All right. So.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So when we see that interview, when we see that discussion between Gordon Robertson and also Franklin Graham, the video that they played in the beginning talking about the 21 Christians that were beheaded in Tripoli, we talked about that in a previous program. Did you realize, and this is something that I wasn't aware of either, the title of that video that ISIS broadcasted to the world, it was titled "A Message Signed with Blood to the Nation of the Cross."
Mm.
It doesn't get any more clear than that. And it's Franklin Graham brought so much clarity to the things that are happening that we've also been talking about on many, many occasions. He said it's against the law in Saudi Arabia to have a church. And it's like, it's against the law. That is why we talk about the Constitution. That's why we talk about the First Amendment, the fact that we can talk freely about Jesus. And when Gordon Robertson asked him, he says, where are we in biblical prophecy? He says, granted, I don't know his exact dates. He says, I believe that we're in the midnight hour as far as God's time is concerned. These moments when Jesus even talks about it, when you hear about wars and rumors of war, basically he's like, don't freak out. Look up. These are just birth pains that are just signifying the fact that Jesus is about to come back. And Gordon Robertson even talked about, or Franklin Graham said, the fact that our president is sympathetic towards Islam. And there was actually a discussion in the White House,
the press room.
Yes, in the press room.
White House press room.
Josh Earnest was actually speaking, and there was a specific individual that asked him a question about the direct topic of radical Islam. For some reason, why is it that radical Islam is not stated? Why are you bending over backwards not to highlight this, not to talk about this? And it's amazing to hear how Josh Earnest responds, or actually his lack of response. Watch this.
Other of your allies.
allies have described the ideology that you call a warped view of Islam by calling it radical Islam. They're not saying we're at war with Islam. They agree with you totally in every word you just said. But they are calling the ideology, the warped view that these people adhere to, by a name. And it seems that that the White House has gone to great lengths to avoid ever calling it anything other than, you know, warped view. And I'm wondering, is there a reason for that?
Yeah, I'm doing my best to try to explain to you what that is. The first is accuracy. We want to describe exactly what happened. These are individuals who carried out an act of terrorism, and they later tried to justify that act of terrorism by invoking the religion of Islam and their own deviant view of it. The second is, this is an act that was roundly condemned by Muslim leaders. That, again, I'm describing to you the reasons why we have not chosen to use that label, because it doesn't seem to accurately describe what had happened. We also don't want to be in a situation where we are legitimizing what we consider to be a completely illegitimate justification for this violence, this act of terrorism.
Almost legitimate.
Again, I'm not going to criticize.
Wow. He said, I certainly wouldn't want to be in a position where I'm repeating the justification that they have cited that I think is completely illegitimate. Mm. 21 Christians beheaded. Would you consider that legitimate? And a lot of times we can see these names and not really have a connection of it. And you see these names right here. When I was overseas and I was deployed to Iraq, I didn't have this awareness.
So you're a U.S. Marine.
Correct.
And how many tours of duty did you do?
I did two tours to Fallujah, Iraq, which is basically about an hour west of Baghdad, central Iraq. When you look at a Middle Eastern name, it looks like first name, middle name, last name. When you look at that, what that says is a person's name, the middle name is his father's name, and the last name, that's his grandfather's name. These are people. And you can read a name, like for instance, the first name says Malad Makin Zaki. And a lot of times, it's like it goes one ear out the other. What if that name said Michelle? What if it said Jonathan? What if it said Peter? It's a totally different story, because it's like, oh my goodness, that could have been my neighbor.
Mm.
That could have been the person I work with. That could have been me. Yes. We cannot separate the fact of what is happening over there can happen here. And something that was so significant also that Gordon Robertson said is just like the days the hours of daytime is coming to close. We've got to work like it was nighttime. We've got to work before it becomes night. What does that mean? How do we work? What do I do in this hour? How do I respond to these events?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had many conversations where people are responding in fear, or they're looking at Islam and God is bigger than anything that would seek to try to come against them.
Much, much bigger. You look at the population, you look at 7 billion people in the world, and you look that reportedly there's 1.2, 1.8 billion Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to be scared of Muslims. We're not supposed to be scared of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we want the Muslims to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And like Franklin Graham was saying, this is the time to preach the gospel. This is the time to move in love. This is the time to say, hey, if God is God, let us see. Let's see which one shows up. Wouldn't you want to serve the one that shows
Absolutely.
Up? And that's what happened to Kamal Saleem. Kamal Saleem was sent here to do radical jihad. He got into a car wreck. Long story short, he wound up being helped back to health by a Christian surgeon, and they led him to the Lord. But prior to that, he went to his apartment, and he cried out for Allah, and Allah said nothing, according to him. But when he cried out to Jesus, Jesus said, hey, here I am. You know, why are you persecuting
Absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely.
And he gave his life to him.
Why would we not witness to someone who does not know Christ, regardless of what their ethnicity is or regardless of where they are? There's actually a testimony. There's a guy named Ergun Canner, and he was a Muslim. But there was somebody that loved him and witnessed him and told him about Jesus. Watch this.
He said, Islam teaches that Jesus wasn't crucified. Yes, Surah 4, verse 157. Isa was not crucified, but somebody else in his place. He said, why would Jesus be indicted of a crime worthy of crucifixion to begin with? Was it trumped up charges? No. Was it blasphemy? Yes. What's blasphemy? In other words, he opened the door to me about crucifixion. That when Jesus died, his death had some meaning, some hope. In every debate that I've done, in every time I've debated, Muslim, Sunni, Sufi, Alawite, Shia, every debate I've ever done, this question always comes up from the Muslim. What does one man's death have to do with me? But you see, in Islam, there is a measure of this. If I die to further Islam, I am helping my children, I am helping my family, I'm helping future generations. So my death does, in fact, resonate throughout Islam. The question I ask them is, what would Jesus' death resonate for you? In other words, if Jesus shed his blood, I don't have to. Jesus' bloodshed, Jesus' death, offers me the one thing that Islam cannot answer, and that is the screaming need for my assurance, the screaming need for forgiveness. And so Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, dies on the cross, buried, 3 days, resurrects, ascends into heaven's temple, presents his blood, and then he sits down. And so then I will ask the Muslim, why would Jesus sit down? Is he tired? And he sat down because he was done. Finished. Atonement has been offered. If I may say it this way, Jesus strapped himself to a cross so that I wouldn't have to strap a bomb to myself. I lasted 4 days in that church. After so many years of struggling, I lasted 4 days. On the fourth day, I came forward. I told the pastor, Isa bin Allah, Jesus is the Son of God. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. And that's all preacher talk for simply saying that I wanted Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I accepted his sacrifice in my life. I accepted his bloodshed for me. I repented of my sin, turned my life over to him. He is not just a messenger. He is Messiah. And he's not just the lover of my soul. He is now the Lord of my life.
Wow, that is so, so powerful. Steve, would you close us out in prayer?
Amen. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the word of our testimony. Lord, there is grace. And we just say right now, Lord, that we just by your Holy Spirit, we will get busy and we will just preach the word of God to all nations, God. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name, God.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
John, do you know the VFNTV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFNTV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFNTV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, some, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFNTV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.